The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is
NASCAR Cup Teams Take on Phoenix with a little different Gen 6 car. After a grueling speed weeks in Daytona, many call this the first real race of the season. Of course, they're wrong, but we all know what they mean. Some have even said this is the first true test of the new Gen 6 race car, and they may be right. One thing is certain, though. This is the first race for the Gen 6 car on a track other than 2-plus miles and without restrictor plates. The smaller tracks, like this one at Phoenix, are the ones most frequented by NASCAR in the regular season. It did appear, at least to this fan, all the Cup teams were trying to gather as much information for their notebooks as they could for future tracks, even though this one is unique in itself. It is also a little different Gen 6 car than the one the teams put on the track at Daytona. Most of the changes are for downforce and are to the rear of the car. If you've been paying attention to the many reports this week, you've seen exactly what and where those changes are. For those that might have missed it, it has to do with the blade or spoiler on the rear deck lid and the bottom of the body at the rear of the car. This will be the car we see the most this year, and the one we saw at Daytona we will only see a few more times. Although this fan and others think there might be some tweaks to the other car, at least by the time the Cup teams visit Daytona in July. Judging from the practices, especially on Saturday, this fan thinks many of the teams are having a little trouble getting a handle on this new car. At least on this one-mile track, it appears that way. Maybe it is just because it is just a little too easy to hook up the back end with the increased downforce, and that has made it more difficult to hook up the front end. Whatever it is, some have found what it takes, and others are still struggling. One thing is pretty obvious, though. The teams were learning fast. Mark Martin didn't appear to have too much trouble adjusting to this new car at all, though. He won the pole and was very fast in all three practices. If nothing else, it looks as though he should be one of the top picks to take the trip to Victory Lane this afternoon. Personally, I think it is a bit too early to make that choice, but I do admit he is looking very strong this weekend. Depending on whether you look at the qualifying times or the lap times in the last two practices, you do see some names that were obviously fast in all three. Mark Martin is one of the most obvious, but Kyle Busch is another. With the way things have been going for Joe Gibbs Racing so far, I don't think they want to get their hopes up too much too early. But it won't surprise this fan to see all three of the JGR teams mixing it up to take the checkered flag by the end of the day. And then there are those MWR teams. No one can deny they've been flexing a lot of muscle since last season, and this season doesn't appear to have changed that. Along with Mark Martin being fastest in the last practice, we also find Clint Bowyer and Martin Truex Jr. in the top 10. That sounds like a triple threat to this fan, and I expect any of the three to be running very near the front when it comes down to the end. The only thing that might be of a concern for them is some of the engine troubles experienced by the Toyotas. Even Denny Hamlin of JGR had an engine go bad as he was backing out of his garage stall. If there is one thing that might hold MWR or JGR back for taking this win, engine problems would be at the top of the list. Although they have struggled a bit so far, the Roush Fords appear to be getting their act together too. Both Carl Edwards and Greg Biffle had gained some speed and were in the top 10 in the final practice. I think I'll just wait and see how the Penske and Petty Fords do. They weren't at the top of the charts, but with this being a short race, I don't expect anyone to just lay back and wait for the end to make a move. I have noticed some are trying to make a big deal out of what is called the feud between Clint Bowyer and Jeff Gordon, but from my view, I think it is just a bunch of hype, and I don't expect anything to happen. It is way too early in the season, and this isn't exactly in the heat of the battle like it was last fall. That doesn't mean there aren't still some hard feelings in both camps, but I don't think today will be the day for payback of any kind. I guess we'll see how it goes. What I do expect for this race is for it likely to develop into a fuel mileage race, just like it always does. I'm hoping it doesn't, but it has before and made the end of the race less than exciting. Unless you like the drama of seeing who will run out of fuel last, you know. Now that I think about it, that doesn't sound too bad either. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time, right here at NASCAR Fans View, for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi everyone, my name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty-free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time, and I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give $2 Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you will feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get $2 Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.